Good day, friends. We come to you with our Bible open once again to bring you a broadcast under the caption of What It Means to Be Born Again. Before we get into the lesson on the broadcast today, let us go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. If you care to join us and can, feel free to do so. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we are glad at this day that we are able to come to you with full assurance that thou art God and doth rule in the affairs of men. We are thankful for this broadcast, Father, that is beamed out into this community and area. We are thankful for those who make it possible that men may hear the word, believe it, and obey it. And as we talk about the new birth on this series, Father, we trust that men and women will truly search their hearts as they search thy word, and to obey from their heart this wonderful form of doctrine that is found in God's word. We pray this day for those who are sick. They may be in nursing homes or hospitals or convalescent homes or private homes. We trust that thou will be with them. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, Father. May they some way realize that thy word has consolation and comfort that can sustain us in the time of need. We pray for the brethren not alone who make this broadcast possible, but for all Christians throughout the world who follow thy word faithfully and diligently. We pray, Father, for those who are away from the Lord this day. And may this marvelous teaching sink into hearts that are open as the parched earth receives the rain that falls from heaven. Help us now, Father, that we may put our trust in thee. We are thankful for Christ who died that he might give us personal salvation from our sins. We do pray for our nation and nations of the world. May men be conscious of the fact that truly thou art God. Help us as we go on through this day and through life. This we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. It's good to greet you again on this Born Again series, and as we deal with lesson number 3, may it bring to your mind and to our mind how full the Bible is. Again, we allude to 2 Peter 1 and 3, where Peter said, in talking about an action of the Holy Spirit, His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I want to go to the 8th chapter of Acts again on the broadcast today. You'll recall last week we were talking about the gospel as it was proclaimed at Samaria, how that men and women believed the gospel and were baptized, and how the great opposition, Simon, who had been a sorcerer, also hearing the word believed it and was baptized. Now we have Philip talking in that part of the chapter to a multitude of people, both men and women, in that city of Samaria. But in the same chapter, we have a one-on-one situation, as far as we're able to determine, of where Philip went down into a desolate area and preached the gospel to one man in the chariot. Now I don't know as I talk to you whether there's anyone else in the chariot or not. But as far as the preaching is concerned in the record here in the 8th chapter of Acts, it is truly a one-on-one situation. I've thought about this chapter a great many times in our preaching the gospel. Sometimes we preach to many people, sometimes just to one. This might be in a home study. This might be in a personal conversation. You see, it's our conviction that as we have an opportunity to talk to people, we should present the gospel as our opportunity affords, or as we even can make opportunity, whether it be to one person or whether it be to many. I've heard people say a lot of times, well, doesn't it actually cause you to be discouraged when perhaps you preach sometimes to so few people? I think about this one thing, that if I'm even talking to one person, as I'm talking to you today, and there are many listening, I'm sure, but I'm talking to you today as one person, that you have a soul that's more precious than anything else in the world. Let's not forget that it was Jesus who said, "What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what can he give in exchange for his soul?" You see, there's teaching that we shouldn't overlook, because the soul that you possess, the spiritual part of your life, is worth more than all of the physical creation. So if you had all the world, it wouldn't be worth what your soul is. So you see, whether you be one who is affluent in this life, or whether you be one who may be poverty-stricken, You may not know where your next meal is coming from, so to speak. You see, you have a soul. You have something very precious to God. And I believe, friends, that's why Jesus in his personal ministry never overlooked one person. He talked to multitudes by the sea. He talked to those who were great and those who were small. Then he talked to one person, even like he did the Samaritan woman at the well. And here we have Philip as an evangelist who had been preaching in that city of Samaria, now talking to one man down here in a desolate area. Well, he met this man on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And it was the Spirit of God that entered into this picture, and I think it's vital in our series as we talk about the new birth. It was the Spirit who told Philip in verse 29 of Acts 8 to go near and join himself to the chariot. Verse 30 says, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And the first thing the preacher did was to ask a question. Do you understand what you're reading? The man in the chariot was reading, as we understand, from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And he had a desire that Philip would come up with him and explain to him a certain scripture. What does the scripture mean here in Isaiah? That mentions about a sheep and a lamb. That mentions about judgment and mentions about a life being taken from the earth. I will never know, and I'm sure you won't either, how close this man was to acknowledgement right then that this was the Messiah. But you see, the interesting thing as we drop down on the text here is in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now let's notice in our new birth series here what's taking place. We told you two lessons ago from the first chapter of 1 Peter that we're to be born again not of corruptible seed but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which truly is a spiritual word. It's a word that's going to abide forever. It's a word that will be there at the very bar of judgment when we stand there before Christ at the final day. I read that scripture the other day in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, where it says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. So here we have the Word of God being preached. The new birth must have the Word of God preached if it's going to become a reality. So this fits in perfectly that Philip opened his mouth and began with the same scripture from Isaiah and preached unto him Jesus. Now, I don't know how long he talked. And all I know that the book says here is that he preached Jesus. I am sure it's the same gospel that he preached at Samaria. I am sure it's the same gospel that Peter and the other apostles preached in the second chapter of Acts on that first Pentecost after Christ went to heaven. And we find the result is the same as it was in Jerusalem and also in Samaria. It says as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. This is verse 36. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, this is vital because Paul said in Romans 10 and 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus had taught also in Matthew 10:32 in his personal ministry. He said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. So there was something that hindered this man from being baptized. It was the announcement of his faith in Christ Jesus. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now I ask you, was this man in the chariot born again? We have the evidence of the Spirit. We have the evidence of water. And you'll notice the Spirit did not take Philip away until after this man was baptized. It might be considered by some as you listen to the broadcast today that when this man said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that this indicated salvation from his sins at that point. And then it was followed by baptism. because this was the thing that should follow. Christ had said in his great commission in Mark 16 and 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Luke 16 and 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, I believe that's why the individual was baptized. It was a part of his obedience. It's a commandment of the Lord, as we have in Acts 10:48, "For Peter at the house of Cornelius commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." Well, it's a wonderful thing to recognize the fact that our belief is brought to a very wonderful picture of the action of baptism or immersion. I remember Paul writing in Colossians 2 and 12, in telling us that we're buried with him in baptism, wherein also we're risen with him through the faith and the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Just as God's resurrection of Jesus from the dead by his power was truly a very good example of what must be done, so we understand the operation of God in one coming forth from the water of baptism, faith that we have in him. It was for the remission of sins, as we have in Acts 2:38. In Acts 22:16, Paul, the writer, says in his speech there in that 22nd chapter of Acts that he was told in his conversion to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So I believe when the man heard Jesus preached, he heard the necessity for baptism. I believe this points out very definitely, friends, that the Spirit was here, water was here, and it was needful and necessary that to be born again, one must be born of both the water and the Spirit. Now that's why in the Church of Christ, when the gospel is proclaimed, that you'll have the whole story. We know that a person is not saved by faith alone, as James said, not by faith only, but he is saved by a completing of that obedience which must all be done by faith. So to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ implies more than what was stated here in that desolate area. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You see, everything that one does to become a Christian is based upon faith. We hear the Word of God, so truly we might believe. Now, we may not, as we hear it, we may not think that we're going to believe it. But faith comes by hearing the Word of God, as we have in Romans 10:17. Repentance is an action of faith, for it truly causes one to realize his condition of sin. And as Peter put it in Acts 3:19, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." But our sins are not blotted out until after we have confessed with our mouth that we believe Christ is the Son of God. And then, as Paul put it in Romans chapter 6, we are buried in the likeness of his death and baptism, and we are raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, this type of lesson from the Word of God regarding the new birth, regarding what one does to be born again, may cause you to have a lot of questions on your mind. Now, if we can answer those questions, we'll be glad to do so. I told you on the broadcast last week, feel free to send them in to this station or to the congregation of the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast on this station. If we can answer those questions, we'll be glad to do so. Tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast and be with us next week as we deal once again with what it means to be born again.